Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with my good friend, Dr. Peter Williamson, who holds the Adam Cardinal Mita Chair in Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. And we're going through St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Dr. Williamson is co-authored a book from the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture on Galatians. And we invited him in. He's going to be with us this week, and we're going to take some key themes each day. And so welcome back, Peter.
Thank you. I'm good to be with you.
It's great. It's great to have you. You know, we're going to focus mostly on chapter 2 today, but I do want to ask you something from chapter 1.
Sure.
Where Paul, you know, in his salutation, he says, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever." So he gave himself for our sins, and Paul's saying, for the purpose to deliver us from the present evil age. Explain that.
Yeah, sure. Well, it was a commonly accepted understanding among Jews of this time that if you will, history was divided into the present age, which was understood to be under the power of evil, and then the age to come, which would be the age of the kingdom of God. And what Paul is saying to the Galatians, and what the New Testament says to us, is that Jesus's coming, his incarnation, his death, his atoning death for our sins, and his resurrection, started the age to come. And that we who are in Christ, who believe in him, who have been baptized, who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, have actually been transferred from the kingdom of this age and of this world to the new age. Now, the truth is we live in an overlap between the ages. So the kingdom of God has been started, and the new age has begun, but we still live on earth in a world that's under the old age, under the powers of darkness. So we're in a kind of in-between times when the new thing has started, but the old thing hasn't ended yet. Mm-hmm. So basically what Paul is saying is Jesus has come. We are freed from the power, the control, the limits of this evil age in which we live. And we have to look around and we say, we live in an evil age. We think about the persecution, the evil, the slavery, the human trafficking. We see the values in our society that are turned against God. The fact that we live in an evil age is not hard to see. But the wonderful thing is that through Christ's divine life, we can ourselves be living on another level and in the new age, in the life of the kingdom.
Yeah, it seems, Peter, that the preaching of the apostles was part of it was come out of the evil age now, right?
Yeah,
you know. And it was really clear, and that's the same
kingdom
thing.
Of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yeah.
We can enter into that now. Yes, it's partial and incomplete, but and when Christ returns, it becomes fully complete.
Yeah.
But we can escape this world,
and that is, and the church lives in this last period of history. The church is Christ's body in the earth that's echoing Jesus' words to come out of this present evil.
We're the new fellowship, the new society that God has established.
So that clear preaching, that clear vision is as important today as it ever was.
Absolutely.
About the times we're living in and what's the way out of it. And because life in the kingdom of God is being offered now.
That's right.
Yeah, and if you die without entering into it, that's a problem.
Yeah. Just yesterday, I was with a Jewish man, a neighbor of ours, who is close to death. And actually, he said to me the other day, now I need to learn about the Bible and about Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Because the reality of death coming near to him has made him kind of conscious of, I got to be thinking about the age to come.
Yeah.
And I had a wonderful chance of actually praying with him, being able to share the good news with him and pray with him.
Oh, fantastic.
As he's wanting to enter into that new kingdom.
Oh, isn't that great?
But sometimes the reality of death makes people aware, I need to know something.
Where
about
am I going?
That. Where am I going?
What's going to happen?
What's next?
Yeah, what's next? Exactly. Okay, and then as we go on now through the first chapter here, Paul lays claim to his gospel, and he's beginning to put his finger on the problem. You want to say a little something about that? Where he received his gospel, I guess, is the point.
Yeah, well, one of Paul's See, what's happening here in Galatia is that there are some Jewish teachers that saying to his Gentile Christians, you have to keep the law of Moses, you have to get circumcised. And Paul says, no. He says the gospel that I preach that says faith and the Spirit and Christ's death is enough to put you in a right relationship with God. You don't need to keep the Jewish law. He says, that didn't come to me by human wisdom. It's not like I made this up, folks. He says, it came by a revelation of Jesus Christ. For he says, so it's a kind of autobiographical argument. He's saying, okay, I used to be a wild-eyed, enthusiastic, zealous Jew. I persecuted the Church of God violently. I tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my own age, among my own people. So extremely jealous was I for the traditions of our fathers. So he says, I know all that Jewish law stuff. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, in this way he compares himself to Jeremiah, who says the same thing, had called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order to preach him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with flesh and blood. I didn't talk to any human being, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and again returned to Damascus. So he's basically saying, God gave me this gospel that I preach. It doesn't have a human source. So don't just say this is just Paul's view. I got it from God. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it from any human beings.
And he got it from the Lord on the road to Damascus, that blinding experience where he had a revelation of Jesus appeared to him.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, and he fell to the ground, he was blinded. Jesus told him, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to bring them from darkness to light and from Satan to God, and so that they can come and have the faith and live in heaven. I get the last line, but basically that's what he's saying.
Exactly. So what you just said about bringing them from Satan to God, from darkness to light, that's what's spoken about the transition between the present evil age and the age to come. And what's wonderful about the gospel, Paul says, is that the door of relationship to God is now open to Gentiles. But not only that, both Jews and Gentiles, even those that were under the law, are now brought to a new intimacy with God, a new level of closeness to God that wasn't possible before.
Yeah, and the just underlining what Jesus had said to Paul, the points you're making there, said the default mode of the human race is you're in bondage to the present evil age.
Yeah, yeah.
And you need something to get out of it. And you need God's grace, God's action to come at work in you, to give you his life, to give you a new life for a new age, to live with him forever, right?
Right, right.
And so it's a beautiful thing, Peter, you think about how, you know, the Jewish people are meant to be a light to the nations.
Right.
And this, and the, you know, the central light there is the Messiah that comes from the people of Israel, who God raised and trained and foreshadowed many things that were to come, and Jesus fulfilled it. Doesn't Paul say in Galatians, like, when the time had fully come?
Yeah, that whole chapter
Chapter 4. Okay, so Jesus is a light to all the nations, and the means by which the calling on Israel, the promise, was fulfilled in Jesus is that it was able to go to the Gentiles for the first time through faith and not through birth and circumcision.
Right, right.
Physical birth.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and so the time of the old covenant is past, the time of the new covenant has come, and that new covenant is focused around the person of Jesus. It's the new covenant in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So Paul wants to shift the focus to Jesus and to relationship to him as the means for which the whole human race can now have access to God.
Yeah.
A big change in history has happened. Yeah. And God's plan has happened through the coming of Christ that opens the door for everybody to come really close to God and be united to him.
Yeah, yeah, very good, very good. Now, in chapter 2, Peter, there's some interesting stuff happening there, especially in the relationship between Peter and Paul.
Right. Well, see, what happened, it tells a story. Paul is still making a kind of autobiographical argument for the way he preaches the gospel. And he tells about an incident in Antioch where the Apostle Peter came up, and he was eating with Gentile Christians, because a lot of it had to do with, you know, Jews had this idea of they should only eat with other people that were holy or in a right relationship with God, and Gentiles were considered to be sinners and unclean and so on. But Peter was eating with Gentile Christians because he knew they'd been cleansed by faith and that they're acceptable to God. He tells about that in Acts 10, the experience at the house of Cornelius. But apparently when some Jews from Jerusalem came up and visited, who were kind of part of the Jewish part of the church came up and they were law observant, Peter stopped doing that because he didn't want to bring about criticism from them. And And then that started making the Gentile Christians in Antioch think, hey, maybe we're not 100% in. Maybe we're not fully in a relationship with Christ. Maybe we need to become Jews and keep the law of Moses and circumcision and the Jewish laws. And that's where Paul said, no, 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 no. Peter's practice here is misleading them. So he publicly rebuked Peter. Mm-hmm. So verse 11 of chapter 2. So when Cephas, which is another name for Peter, Peter's Aramaic name, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood contemned. and here's what he said. If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile, meaning you've been eating with Gentiles and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? In other words, you're pressuring them to be Jewish. We ourselves, we Jewish Christians, who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no flesh shall be justified. So what he's saying is, Peter, wake up, look! It's not the law of Moses that justifies a person, that puts them in a right relationship with God. It's faith. And we have believed in Jesus in order to have our sins forgiven, in order to be in a right relationship with God. So let's not impose the Jewish law on these Gentile Christians.
Yeah. It's kind of ironic because Peter in the Cornelius story in Acts chapter 10 was the first one to do it. That is,
right.
He was, he had a vision that this soldier was going to be coming. He was a Gentile, and the Lord wanted him to have table fellowship with him, to eat with him, and to share the gospel with him.
Right.
The Spirit of God fell on him. Cornelius, their house was baptized. And so Peter knew it at the moment. But when he went back to Jerusalem or whatever, then some of the believing Jews who were becoming followers of Jesus looked at it differently. No, they need to be Jewish, like you're saying. And so
right.
This is why Peter sort of tempered that. His initial approach was a little fearful, maybe,
yeah,
or something. And Paul said, wait a minute. You had it right the first time.
Exactly.
Don't go back
that's,
on it.
That's precisely his argument.
Yeah.
His argument is not, Peter, you're teaching false doctrine. His argument was, Peter, you're being inconsistent.
Yeah.
You're not sticking with the fullness of the gospel. You're backtracking here.
Yeah.
Your conduct is inconsistent with what you know and what your previous conduct was. One of them's right and one of them's wrong. Which is right?
Yeah.
And it seems that he carried the day there, because he wouldn't have shared this if Peter says no and held a different line. It was his correction was accepted.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's always helped me, Father Francis Martin, underlined something years ago, a great biblical scholar who you knew well too.
Sure.
He said that Christianity means life. Christianity means new life. That's at the heart of it. It's the resurrection life of Jesus. And the question is, how do you get access to that?
Right.
And it really made sense to me. It just clicked one day to say, it doesn't matter how much I practice laws, you know what I mean? And even if I do 90% of them correctly or something like that, it doesn't give me something that I can't access just by behavior. I need a gift from God, the transfusion of divine life into a dying person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A person who's caught in sin. Oh, we got like 25 seconds left.
Well, that's why Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in my flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's that connection with Christ.
Yeah, perfect. Great way to end the program, because I was going to ask if we can actually begin the program tomorrow with that very verse from Paul.
Text.
Friends, hope you can join us. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.